Hallelujah, yes, amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God. say thank you, Jesus. Truly, we do thank God. Amen. Tonight, many are sick, many are fighting the same love, so we just want to be mindful to keep them in prayer. And I did get a call today from a gentleman that I met by accident in Jersey, and his brother had surgery for a brain aneurysm, Stephen Wright. So let's be mindful to keep them in prayer as well. He called today and said, Lord, put it on his heart to call for prayer. So we just thank God for that. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. It's going to be a continuation sort of our teaching on Sunday, but from a little different perspective. So let's go to Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read, start with verse 33. And we'll conclude with verse 36, Romans chapter 11, amen. On Sunday, we went over God opening our eyes, but the challenge that God, to us seeing what God wants us to see is walking the way God wants us to walk. Right? So many times we want to see what God wants us to see, but we want to walk our own way. So if we were to have a thought tonight, it would be doing God's will His way. Doing God's will His way. And if we were to follow the, stop second guessing God. If we're going to do God's will His way, then God will open our eyes. But when we second guess God, we, in essence, we're telling God, you really don't know what you're doing. Right? If you second guess God, you're telling God, you don't know what you're doing. Amen? So verse 33 reads, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are. God's ways are past us finding out. And we cannot understand His judgments. 34 said, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been? Did God have to consult with any of us before He did anything? I think we can all agree the answer would be no. Verse 35, oh, who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word, and the church said,
word of the Lord.
Bless. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to go back to Abraham in a moment. Have you ever felt as though you're doing all God asked you to do, but you're doing it according to your own intellect? Amen. And you're not doing it in obedience to the scripture. There are many times when God will move us in a certain way, and we'll begin to make that journey by faith. But then as we're going, things don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. So then we add our own spin to God's will. Has that ever happened to any of us? Yeah, I guess I, all right, thank you, Jim. Dios te amo, all right. Amen. I know when it's cold outside, it's kind of hard to let your tongue go. Weather's changed, right? So you kind of get a little tight, tongue-tied. That's all right. Let's go to, that's all right, I want you all to think about it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. All right, and we still, then after Ephesians chapter 5, we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and then we'll go back to Genesis chapter 12. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 17. And once again, we are trying to tell God how to do His business. Right? We have to stop second-guessing God. We have to stop questioning God, because we're doing it according to our intellect. And the scripture says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How on, we cannot figure God out. Amen. Every time we think God's going to do it one way, God does it another way, because He is. He's God. Amen. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says, wherefore be not unwisely to act foolishly, or to act kind of like with disrespect for God. Unwise. Don't, when it comes to God, don't act foolish. Don't act in a disrespectful way. Don't act, and it's similar as I said, we're telling God, you know what? You don't know what you're doing. That's unwise. Amen? So he said, be not unwise, but understanding what the what? Will of the Lord is. So we're dealing once again with doing God's will God's way, and not according to our intellect. Amen. The greatest challenge to us walking according to God's will is our intellect. And as I said, we'll go over it a little more when we get to Genesis. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're going to read just one verse of scripture here, that is verse 5. Amen. Doing God's will, but trying to do it our way. And the reason we do it God's way, our way, is because we second guess God, because we don't believe that God really know what he is doing. Amen. Verse, we have Deuteronomy 32, verse 6. Scripture reads, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise, is not he thy father then? Moses is right, and he said, wait a minute, don't you know this is God that brought you? He's your father, and you don't have to question him. Amen. See, he calls them what? Unwise and foolish. Hath not he made thee and established thee? So Moses is trying to get the people of God to say, don't walk according to your intellect. Don't walk according to your understanding. Just accept that this is God that's brought thee. And not only did God bring thee, God has established thee. We, none of us would be anywhere tonight if it wasn't for God. So when God gives us a call, or places a call in our lives, that many times we will try to disqualify ourselves because we don't fully understand it. Now let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and then we get a lot of scripture, but then we'll come back to Genesis chapter 2. Acts chapter 9, questioning what God is doing because we just don't understand it. Amen? Now, in verse Acts 9, 10, we know this is when God stopped, wrote Paul, Saul, before he was converted to Paul, on the road to Damascus. And the Lord finally reveals to Paul, you, Saul, you're doing it your way, but your way is wrong. He was all fervent. He was zealous, but it was not according to knowledge. So Saul was doing it his way, but he was wrong. And he thought God, he was doing what God wanted him to do until God showed him that he was wrong. So God opens his eyes and he's wrong. Then let's go to verse 10. All right. Our focus is not on Saul, but on the one that he sent Saul to for him. Amen. Verse 10 reads, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, here I am here, Lord. So Ananias is acknowledging that he's speaking to who? The Lord. You're going to talk to me. It's kind of like, you're going to say something. Say ouch or something. All right. So Ananias is acknowledging that he's speaking to who? God. So he said, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he. So God is instructing Ananias and said, listen, there's one, and he's praying. Amen. Verse 12 said, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive. And so God is talking to Ananias, amen? But then what is Ananias' response? Instead of saying, okay, Lord, you know, instead of saying, Lord, okay, I got it. If you're telling me he's praying, and you're telling me he needs to receive sight, he has to come to me, why not just say, okay, Lord, your will, your way. But Ananias begins to second guess God. And so God doesn't know what he's doing. Amen. He said, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at. Do you think God knew that? Yeah. He knew it, right? But there are times when we want to do God's will, but we want to do it our way. And we want to do it our way, the way way you can always find is your way when you begin to second guess God. And so God doesn't know what he is, what he's doing. So verse 14, he says, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord has the reason with him. Amen. Just like he does many of us when God gives us something to do. The first thing we try to do is find reasons why we should not do it, because we are second guessing God and we're trying to presuppose or circumvent his will by doing it our way. Alright? So he finally says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And finally, Ananias went his way. But initially, Ananias approached God like, you really don't know what you're doing. Lord, why would you be sending me in a way that doesn't make sense? He said, Lord, haven't you heard? You know what God says? Yeah, he said, I know, but I've heard him pray. See, what we fail to realize a lot of times when we're dealing with God and God is leading us, God is working on the backside for things we do not understand. But because we question God, God cannot give us a full revelation to open our eyes to what he wants us to see. Amen? Now let's go to Genesis chapter 12. We did touch on this a little on Sunday. Second guessing God, trying to instruct God. God asked Job, he said, you know what? You keep telling me all of your righteousness. He said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? He said, when I put the heavens and the stars and the moon in the space. He said, where were you, Job? He said, Job, where were you when I laid the hoary frost? Where were you, Job, when I called all these things that are nothing as though they were? Job finally said, I have to shut my mouth. Right? That's what we need to do sometimes in dealing with God. Just be quiet and let God speak. Amen. But when we try to, there are times now, I'm sure Abraham didn't willingly disobey God, but he still disobeyed God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 of Genesis chapter 12. Trying to outthink God. That is mission impossible. You cannot outthink God. Amen. When God gives you something new, don't try to outsmart God. Don't try to outthink God. Don't act like you got a better way. We would never have a better way when it comes to God. All God wants us to do is walk in obedience. Verse 1 reads, now the Lord has said unto Abraham. If he had said, this means this is what? Second time at least that he said it, because he had already has said it, right? God had already spoken to Abraham, but he's now speaking to Abraham again because Abraham thought he was doing God's will, but he was not doing it God's way. Right? So he said, Abraham, he said that he had sinned. If he had sinned, that means that he did not follow the first instructions. Is that correct? Yeah. We all agree with that, right? So he says that, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a. Now Abraham automatically knew when God said, I'm going to bless thee and make thy name great. Abraham knew he needed to have a seed. And Abraham automatically knew, and if you, when we get a little further into Genesis 15, you'll see that. When he said, I'm going to bless thee and I'm going to make thy name great. Right? In order for your name to be great, someone had to carry on that family name. So God is speaking to Abraham. He had already said it once, and he's telling him again. He said, now get thee out of thy kindred. Kindred is anything that's not directly involved with you. Right? So Lot would not be his immediate family, so Lot would be his kindred, right? Because he's a relative, and we'll find that out a little later as well. Verse 3 says, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And then, so God is speaking to Abraham, and Abraham is hearing this, but Abraham is in the back of his mind, he's wondering, how can this be? I am 75. My wife Sarah is 65, and she is barren. So God is speaking by faith to tell Abraham what to do, but automatically in the back of Abraham's mind, he's trying to figure out, this cannot be. It doesn't make sense what God is telling me, because God is telling me he's going to bless me, and I don't have a seed. So he said, well, you know what? I got to help God out. Since I don't have a natural seed, I'm going to bring someone with me. Amen. Verse 4 says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. What happened? Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. But what was God's specific command? Don't take any of your kindred. So if he took Lot, now God mentions this because it's important, because Abraham thinks he's doing the right thing, but he's doing it his way. Amen. He's doing it his way. So he took Lot, his brother's son, because in the back of Abraham's mind, he said he's 75, Sarai is 65, and we don't have a seed. So I hear what God says, but it doesn't make sense when I look at it. So I have to help God out. You all with me? Because he did not accept God's will as God spoke it, so he is questioning, a second guessing God. Amen? First, the latter part says that all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto whose seed? My seed. Now God is speaking to Abraham, and still in the back of Abraham's mind, he's thinking, how? How can you bless my seed that I do not? I don't have a seed. I don't have a seed. So now just understand the mindset of Abram, for those that want to be politically correct, biblically correct, Abram, Abraham, Sarah, Sarah, Cyril. All right. I got it. So y'all want me, okay, in a little bit we'll do the switch over. We'll cross over to the other side. All right, first, let's go to Genesis chapter 13. So now God is dealing with Abram, but Abram is trying to figure out, how is God going to do what he says when I don't have all of the necessary tools to do what God told me to do? And that's the question that we have to address sometimes. God will call us to do something, but immediately we disqualify ourselves because we don't have the tools. We don't need the tools. All we need is God. And if we accept him at his word. So Genesis chapter 13 reads, and Abraham went out of Egypt. There's a lot of things that transpired. He went down into Egypt and so on and so forth. This is not really important. We don't have time to go over that. But he went down into Egypt after they were in Canaan because of a famine. So they went down into Egypt. Then they come out of Egypt. Out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot is what? Sealed with him. Amen. Into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south to Bethel. Let's skip down a little bit further. Let's get down to verse 5. So Abraham had a lot of flock and riches. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kindred. So he's telling them, he said, we are kindred. But God told him not to bring his kindred. He said, we are brethren, which acknowledges that he's not part of his seed. He wasn't part of the family. Why did it take all of this for Abraham to realize it? Because Abraham, in the back of his mind, felt as though, I have to help God out. Because God really doesn't know what he is doing. Right? And it's going to go on a little bit more. Amen? So let's skip down to all this. They separate. Let's go down to verse 14 for the sake of time. So they separate. Lot goes to Sodom because it appeared as though it was a better place. And Abraham went opposite of Sodom. All right? So now, finally, Abram does what God tells him to do in the very beginning. All right? So, verse 14 says, And the Lord said unto Abram, After, what did he say? What? After that Lot was separated from him. He said, Now, I couldn't show you this before. You've been missing all that I intended for you before because you weren't doing it my way. You were carrying something. You were carrying a weight that I never intended for you to carry. You were second guessing me. So God said, I couldn't even show you the blessing. And it was right there. The blessing was all the same. But God said, I couldn't show you because you weren't doing it my way. You were doing it your way. So now when Abram finally asked in obedience, he said, Now lift up thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Now had God changed his geographical position? No. It was the same geographical position, but now he could see because he was being obedient. He has separated himself from all of his father's house and all of his kindred. So now God said, now you can see because you're not trying to figure out what I'm doing, but you're being obedient. Amen? Verse 15 said, For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make whose seed? Thy seed. Now remember that. Thy seed means it has to come out of Abram and Sarai's bosom. Right? Thy seed. He's very specific. God is not general. He didn't just say the seed, but what? Thy seed. Amen? Then let's go to Genesis chapter 15 now. So you think, well, finally, Abram has now got it. After God has showed him all the blessings and thy seed. But Abraham is moving on in obedience. He was moving in obedience because there was a conflict. But in the back of Abraham's mind, he still did not have a seed. It was not his seed. Amen. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 reads, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So God is speaking to him. So now Abram responds to God and says, And Abram said, Lord, God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go? So God is dealing with Abraham concerning the seed that shall be by faith, but Abraham still is trying to figure out. He's still what? Second guessing God. He was not walking in full obedience because he could not understand it by faith. But by sight, he's saying, it doesn't make sense what you're asking me to do, God, because I still don't have a seed. But God told him, he said, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How many times has God spoken a word of faith into us? And we did not do it because it just did not make sense. Right? We have to believe God in his word. Don't try to figure God out. Because his ways are what? Past, mind, and now. Amen? So he goes on to say in the latter part, Seeing I go childless, And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of. So Abraham said, okay, well, I guess it's going to have to be someone that was born in my house. This Eliezer of Damascus. And his name really meant, Eliezer means God is my help. That's what his name means. God is my help. So Abraham said, okay, so it wasn't my, but at least Eliezer was born in my house. But the problem was, it still was not Abram's seed. It still was not Sarai's seed. Amen? And Abram said, behold, to me has thou given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this, forget it, Abraham. You're not going to change what I've already planned. Eliezer will not be thine heir. Because Abram is still negotiating with God, because what God asked Abram to do still didn't make sense. But God didn't ask us to make sense. He said, just believe. Right? Then he said, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. God said, stop trying to always figure out how God's going to do it. Just say, Lord, I believe. And if you have any unbelief, say, well, help thou my unbelief. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that come forth out of thine own mouth shall be thine. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look down toward heaven, and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy. So he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 16. God is still working his plan, but how many know that at times we get impatient with God, and we don't feel as though God is moving fast enough? There's a slide up there. What's that? Can you give me that slide that God's timing is always perfect? God's timing is always, can we say always perfect? We don't have to question what God's going to do, what he's going to do. Can you get it? Is that going to mess you up? Yes, it's an announcement. Yeah. It says God's timing is always perfect. If we know that, we don't have to question what God's going to do, how he's going to do it, or when he's going to do it. God never makes a mistake. If God says something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it his way when he gets ready to do it. Amen. If you don't worry about it. If you can't get it, don't worry. Just leave it alone. We keep going. We'll get to that at the end of the service. Let's go to Genesis. You got it? All right. God's, can we read this together? God's timing is always what? Perfect. God is never early. God is never late. Not according to our time schedule, but whose time schedule? God's. It takes a little patience and only mustard seed faith. What he has in store for you is worth the wait. God has a but you gotta wait. Now, our problem is we want to always push. Right? We want to circumvent. We want to change what God has. God's timing is always perfect. Never early, never late, but we have to believe God. Amen. And in believing God, we can't question God. Now, Genesis chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And then we skip down to read verse 15 to 16. Amen. Are you all still with me?
Amen.
Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to her, the voice of Sarah. Now, is this what God said? No. So they're still second guessing God. They're still trying to get around what God said. God said the blessing is going to come to who? Abram and Sarai. But they couldn't figure it out. So they're second guessing God because it doesn't make sense. Because she was still barren. Amen? And we're going to find out, this is sometime later. This is like 1 year, 2 years. We found out a little later, this is like 11 years later, she still doesn't have a seed, amen? So verse 3 reads, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt, well, they've been there for 10 years, still no seed. So listen, obviously God doesn't know what he's doing. This is how many years later? 10 years later. Amen. And he went after Hagar as she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my woe be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when he saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee. Amen. And then there's a lot of things happened in between. But let's just skip down to verse 15. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. So this is now 11 years later. So in the back of Abram's mind, he said, now the seed has finally arrived. Right? Because the seed came from me. So now the pressure's off, right? I don't have no pressure because now God's going to do what he says. But how you know God said the seed was going to come through Abram and who? Sarai. So Abraham is finally relaxed. I have my own seed, but it was not according to God's plan. He was still second guessing God. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 of Genesis 17. Then let's get down to verses 15 and 22. All right. Just to follow, when we went over on Sunday, remember, he said, the Lord finally tested Abraham. And he said, Abraham, now I finally know that you got it. Right? After, when he went to sacrifice Isaac, because the very thing that Abraham loved the most, God said, now I want you to give it up. Right? You've done all this stumbling around and trying to circumvent. God said, now I'm going to give you one final test. How many of us have entered the one test and we failed it when God could have changed our whole situation around because we tried to do it our way? Amen. Verse 1 of 17 reads, and when Abram was 99 years old. This is 13 years after Ishmael is now born. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of. And Abram responded and said, yeah, I got the seed. I know what you're saying is true because I have the seed. But God was leading him and said, you think you got the seed, but that's not the seed that I intended. Amen. So he goes on to say, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but finally I can call him Abraham. Thank you, Jesus. But thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And Abraham in the back of mind is thinking, yeah, because I have Israel. But God said, you think in your way, but oh, the depth of the riches. And my ways are past finding out. Amen. First 7 says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now let's get down to verse 15. All right, there's some stuff in between. He's talking about the covenant and all. Verse 15 said, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarai, but thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He's like, wait a minute. I thought we were past this, God, when we had Ishmael. How did you get back to what you first said? Like, you know, God ever do that to you? He said, wait a minute. I thought we passed this walk. How are we back here all over again, the same old place that we started off at? Because you didn't get it. God had a plan, but you tried to circumvent it. So Abraham laughed and said, wait a minute. We can't be back at the same place again, can we? This is now 24 years after you called me out, and we're back at Sarah having a seed again. So Abraham begins to laugh and begins to talk to God. Okay, so he said, in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is? Abraham said, wait a minute, God, do you really know what you're doing? I mean, how many of us have God moved in that direction? God said, I'm going to do this for you, and you look at all the stuff on paper, you say, absolutely impossible. That's why I like the scripture saying the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. If you let God be God. Once again, if you what? Let God be God. God will do just what he says. But God can't do it if you don't let God be. If you try to be God, you will hinder your blessing. You will delay the blessing. You will delay the deliverance because you're fighting against God. And Abraham said unto God, oh that. I'm like, the Lord must have looked at us and said, we're back there again. I got rid of Lot. We got rid of Eliezer. Now we got to get rid of another one. We got to get rid of Ishmael. Abraham said, let Ishmael reign before thee. Amen. And what did the Lord say? Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. God said, not just, but indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And Isaac means what? Laughter. Right? And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. And he left on talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. It took all of that for Abraham to finally accept God's word. Because Abraham felt as though God did not know what he was doing. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 22. We'll conclude here. Genesis chapter 22. We went over this on Sunday. You would think after all that God had done, after he called those things, actually, before we go there, let's go to Romans chapter 4 for one quick second. This is how Paul explains it to the Romans. All right, Romans chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 17 through 25, and then we'll go to, I got a couple minutes later, then we'll go to Genesis chapter 22, amen? Don't try to figure God out. Just let God be God. Because when we try to figure God out, the thing that God says doesn't make sense by the natural mind. But we accept it through our spiritual mind by faith, it makes sense. Then we won't act unwise, but we will understand what the will of the Lord is. How many of us want to know the will of God for our lives? Amen. That's the safest place to ever be is in God's will. But you can't know God's will if you're trying to tell God how to do it. Right? We can only know God's will when we submit willingly to him. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Now this is Paul's account of what Abraham and Sarah went to. Say, as it is written, I have made thee a father of what? Just as he promised Abraham. before him whom he believed, even God, who does what? God made dead things come alive, according to his word. Because Sarah's womb was dead. Abram was past childbearing years. But God said, because I spoke it. That's why we can't try to question God. We just got to accept God's word for what it is. He said, because I can make a dead thing come to life. Because I am. You won't understand it in your finite mind. He said, but just believe what I said. Amen. Believe his prophets and so shall thou prosper. You got to believe God's word. You can't question God. Amen. So he said, he called those things that be not. God said, I'm God. You won't understand this. He said, but I call those things that be not as Abraham and Abraham and Sarah, when they looked at Isaac, that was not. He said, but I'm God. I call that, even though you're past childbearing age, just like I did John and Elizabeth in the book of Luke. He said, because I'm God. Amen. Remember what God revealed, Zacharias, right? When John and Elizabeth, when he appealed to Zacharias, Zacharias came out of the tomb, out of the temple of God. Everything he's been praying for, God said, you got the answer. He said, well, how do I know? Don't question God. Right? He said, you're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the child is born. Then you know it's me. Right? Sometimes I'm saying, well, why did God do that? Because he did it to let them know. God did it. Nobody else did it but God. Amen. But verse 18 reads, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, quickening of those things that be dead, right? His own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God through. Now we know God has spoken some great things in our lives individually and in the church collectively. But how many of us have begun to stagger at what God has said through our belief? Right? We can't figure out how God is going to do it because we don't figure. The mountain is way too big. God can't move this mountain, right? The mountain is too big. But what did Jesus say? He said, all we have to do is what? Speak to the mountain. Right? All of us going out and get bulldozers, dynamite, all this stuff. Why do you trouble yourself when God said just do what? Right? Speak to the mountain. How do you speak to the mountain? By faith. You speak to the mountain. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, see that, say, be thou removed and be thou. God said, it shall be done. All right, now I know a whole lot of y'all already said that don't make sense. God didn't say it makes sense. He just said, believe it. Right? And that's why we lose out on so much that God has intended for us. Because God says, do something, and you know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by love. The world has such an impact on us. When God speaks something, we always react to what God says to us naturally instead of spiritually. Whenever God speaks a word to us, the first thing we do is we look at it through our natural eyes, through our carnal mind, and say, God can't do it. He said, wait a minute, you got saved. Why is it when we come to God, every time it comes to God, we react in a carnal, worldly way instead of by faith, spiritually? He said, well, the only way you're going to react by faith, spiritually, is you have to have your minds renewed. That you may prove, what is that? Good, acceptable, and the reason that you can't get it is because you're not trying to have your minds renewed. You're still allowing the pattern of the world to influence you on every decision you make for God. Every decision we make for God, if we're not careful, the world will have the greatest impact instead of God. Let God be God. Amen. So he goes on to say, he staggered at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory. You know, said this is a God case. The only way this is going to change is if who does it? God does it. And being partially persuaded. Persuaded when he felt like it. He was what?
Fully
persuaded. If you want something from God, just be fully persuaded. Even though it doesn't make sense and everybody said it won't happen, let your faith be your faith. Amen. Every miracle Jesus ever performed, he said, according to your faith. You be fully persuaded. Don't care about what anybody else says. Amen. Let God be God. Being fully persuaded, he goes on to say that what he had promised, he was able to what? And therefore was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Now, this is the one I really want to get to. All right? So Paul writes all that to say this next verse. Now it was written not for his sake alone. All that Abraham went through was not for his sake alone. Amen. But he did it for us. All that Abraham went through, it wasn't for his sake alone, but it was also imputed unto us. How? By faith. Don't have to figure it out. So just like God, if God has spoken something into your spirit, and we're not talking about creating visions that you're going to go out go and conquer all of Romania and all that. I'm just saying, if God has given you a reasonable vision, believe that vision. But you know the number one thing to us believing any vision? All the other voices that gets in the way of us hearing what God. God said, I'm going to do it. And we say, well, how can you? Really, seriously, think of some impossible situation you're going through right now. When somebody says, God's going to do it, you hear the word of faith. Time you hear it, you say, well, God can't do this. Jesus. We do. That's what we do. So God says, you know what? I'm going to have to first get rid of Lot. Next, I'm going to have to get rid of your Eliezer. Then I'm going to have to remove your Ishmael. Because you're doubting what I can do. God said, I'm not going to do it the way that it's going to be easy, but I'm going to do it the way so that you give glory to God. Because when I do it any other way, you're going to say, well, I knew that we could do this. It's not by might, nor is it by power. God said, it is by my spirit, said, you can't do it of your own power, might, or strength. It all comes through God. Let us all stand. That's good enough. You can't second guess God. You can't circumvent what God is doing. So it's time for us to stop being unwise. Amen. But understand what the will of the Lord is. We should pray daily, Lord, I've done so many things for so long my way. Most of us over 20, anybody under 20, don't raise your hand, shout out to you. I mean, anybody else. All right. Everybody is mostly, is Shamar, are you over 20 yet? Oh, not yet, okay, three under 20. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, for all these years we've done it our way so long, that God keeps trying to change our way to his way. But we can't get it because we've done it our way for so long. And then when God tries to change our way for us to see the bigger picture, that it takes God to do what the impossible. It takes God to perform those impossible situations. When we just say, Lord, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. I can't figure out how you're going to do it anyway. So I hope instead of me trying to figure out what God's going to do, I'm just going to believe. Right? And then believing, I'm going to speak those things and be not as though they. We do the opposite. Right? We say, oh, God is never going to do it, so guess what? God won't do it. So we're supposed to speak those things and be not as though they reverse what you've been thinking. Reverse what you've been saying. Instead of saying, God will never do it, say, I know God's going to do it. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself through faith. We're not talking about this positive stuff. We're talking about faith in what God can do. He said, if you speak to the situation, if you believe and doubt not, he said, if you speak those things, whatsoever you speak, ye shall have if you doubt not. Believe God. Amen.
Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Come on, say thank you.